the Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Well, there, we've got a busy show this evening. Ronan O'Gara is going to talk to us about playing at Twickenham, about captaincy, Johnny Sexton, and a Six Nations Championship, which is wide open. We have Johnny Cooper, six All-Irelands to his name, on the show as well. And as I said before, the news headlines there, the main man, Kenny Cunningham, has made a welcome return to the show this evening. Kenny Cunningham, hello.
Evening, lads.
Oh. Hey,
just now it's the glasses. We're all in the club, aren't we?
Me and Kenny are almost like brothers here. Not a hair between
us. It's a job lot. It's a job lot, isn't it? The glasses.
We're almost the same. Same.
Three for one.
Kind of.
Three for two.
It's a good offer.
How boring. How boring.
Richie McCormick, hello to you.
Joseph, how are you?
Kenny Cunningham, where have you been? How are you?
Yeah, all good.
Have you
all
just
good.
Had to take them off to differentiate yourself?
Yeah,
the director's
been
in your
that
ear.
Was a bit odd.
We can't tell them to zone apart.
I was uncomfortable, I gotta be honest with you.
It's very nice to see you. It's been a while. Happy 2020 to you. What's been going on in your world?
No, very personal level. It's a bit personal, isn't it?
Give us the real personal stuff.
No, very little.
Have you talked to Kevin Kilbane much?
No, I haven't spoke to him full stop.
He's had some news.
Yeah, I've been hearing it kind of ad hoc and kind of indirectly, and people have been sending me kind of, you know, I'm a little bit outside of, you know, normal kind of channels and stuff. So I've been getting a few texts off people, and I have sent them a text.
And?
But I haven't had one returned.
Okay. Oh. I think that's about standard at the moment.
Consoling myself with the fact maybe he's been his old phone and old friends at the same time.
He's part of the showbiz set now, Kenny. Yeah, that's the thing. He's part of the ITV kind of circus.
Mm-hmm.
Turned up on Lorraine, Loose Women. Probably an episode of Minder.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that. I did tune into the first episode of that Strictly on Ice.
It's called Dancing on Ice, but go on.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Because I was aware he was on, and I thought, you know what? I'll have a look. I wouldn't be interested. So I switched it on. I was looking, where is he? Any chance? So Annie was announced he wouldn't be making an appearance. That was that the first week. But just before I switched it off, I was fumbling for the remote control to get it off. Everybody came onto the ice. There was a moment where everybody came onto the ice. And yeah. I caught a picture from the corner of the screen coming on. And
like
my
Bambi.
Heart sunk.
Like Bambi coming on that first night.
It was as if he'd been pushed. from the side, he was grabbing a hold of somebody's buttocks in front of him. It was like a conga. It was like
he improved a lot from that.
Oh
first
my
night.
God! Honest to God, my heart sunk. I looked at him. I thought, oh Kev, bless. I mean, he was smiling. He looked as if he was enjoying it. But I literally, that was it. That was it for me. I thought, oh,
well, he
it's over.
Improved. Did you watch the other nights?
No.
We'll show you something on YouTube outside before we're on the football show. We have a little window. We'll show you some. He had one very good night. Did a Fred Astaire kind of number. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, honestly, good. And obviously, we don't know where he's going now. He could be off to Canada. We don't know. Will we ever see him again?
Well,
did you get a wedding invite?
Harry
yet?
And Meghan have done
it,
I suppose.
Did you get an invite yet?
If it's in Vancouver, Ireland, I'll consider accepting the invitation.
Yeah, not since Harry and Meghan has Canada had an arrival like this.
Kev won't leave us.
I think he's gone.
Nah, his roots, I don't know. His roots are too strong.
It's Maguire I'm worried about. What's going to happen, Maguire?
Yeah, Maguire's not going to know what's hit him.
He'll be all right. Kev's not leaving. He won't leave us.
I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, I haven't heard. I'm speculating. I'm reading the tabloids same as anyone.
Is that where we're getting your information? Usually you would have got it
by
phone or by text.
No. Tabloids only. That's where I get my info. Lorraine, Loose Women. The last time I saw him was Loose Women.
I give him credit. I mean, that skate. No, I mean, the other, Strictly, I think it's possible to make that big leap forward and say you haven't done a lot of dancing. But I think some people can make big strides forward. But I mean, the ice, I'm no expert, but to have no experience in ice skating and to go on, I know it was quite intense to train, they're saying 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
But even still, and Kev would have been quite committed. You know what Kev is? He's all in. So he would have been very serious about his training. So to have progressed so little from what I saw that first.
So difficult.
That was a minimal gain, wasn't it? That was a bare minimal gain.
Yes, it was.
All that training. It shows you how hard it is. I mean, fair play to him. Good luck to him.
I agree. And when he was on, was it 2 weeks ago? Last week? I can't remember. The weeks are flying by. He was on after he was kicked out anyway. And he was saying even right up until maybe a week before that week saw him, that he just couldn't get how to skate backwards. just the difficulty.
He couldn't track backwards. I know that when he played football.
So I it's incredibly difficult. And he did very well, in fairness to him. I'll never say that to his face, obviously. Yeah. But, you know.
Clearly other people obviously done better. But yeah, the point is well made. What I didn't like is when he kind of, when he got pushed onto the ice, he kind of slid across the ice, kind of desperately holds on to someone. That one of those judges, what's his name? Is it John Barryman or I don't know?
John Barryman, yeah.
John Barryman, very cutting remark. They were asked for a few little observations of what they'd seen on the ice straight away. Massive put down to Kev. Yeah. Thought it was very unfair.
I agree.
We didn't said like it.
They said, any early thoughts? Kev had only skated for about 20 seconds and he said, Kev Kilbane, most room for improvement.
Huge pressure.
But
huge
pressure. He got to week four.
Didn't like it. Didn't like that. Sympathy vote? What are you saying? Sympathy.
I didn't say that at all. We have Johnny Cooper on the show, by the way, after 8 o'clock, Kenny. And Athena man. Moby Road.
Yeah.
Coming at you. Six All-Irelands to his name. Desi Farrell now his coach. You boys are taking over. This is your neck of the woods,
well,
isn't
I'll
it?
Well, tell you what, Johnny. Yeah, I was at an Athena function there. And possibly in the last year or so, up in was up in DCU. It was a fundraiser event, actually, for the club in Athena. I was asked to go up. Desi asked me to put my head in, and I did. Have the big theatre up there. Massive.
The Helix.
Yeah, really impressive. And funny enough, Johnny Cooper came out and spoke for a short period of time. Really impressive. Hugely impressive.
He's a smart cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very impressive. So I recorded the interview with him early on. Very serious, very driven. And interestingly...
We're all like that, the ex-St. Vincent.
I know,
academically, sport, and very very serious, total dedication.
Do you know what he was saying? I don't know if you... did you ever go in for this? He was saying that actually he has gone over to Saracens. He's gone and spent time with New Zealand rugby when they've been training. He's gone down to Australia and watched the AFL teams training. He's gone in with Leinster and Stuart Lancaster and Leo Cullen. Picked their brains, spent time with them. He was saying, and we'll play it after 8 o'clock, you know, he had a two-hour coffee with Owen Farrell. Did you ever go in for any of that? Go and visit other professional organisations? Or wasn't really the dumb thing in football, I suppose.
Drinking establishments doesn't.
Similar.
This is, I'm talking, this is how the sport has evolved. That's what I'm saying. This is how impressive these people are, not Johnny in particular, but generally speaking, young sportsmen nowadays, not only in the GA, but in other fields of sport, very open-minded, want to educate themselves. So I suppose the answer is no. It's as simple as that. When I started doing my coaching qualifications, when I'd finished football, and you get on the coaching ladder, you're doing your A licence and your pro licence, those opportunities present themselves as part of your learning process. You have to go and... No experience, you know, got different football clubs. We went to Holland as part of the, was it A license or pro license? A group of us, we spent a bit of time at different clubs over there. I went to FC 20. Steve McLaren was there.
Could you understand him with his accent?
Steve McLaren.
The Dutch accent must have been tough, was it?
He had a hint of the Dutch accent, yeah. So that type of thing. But yeah, but into a different, like, into a different sports environment, rugby. Now, to be honest with you, Joe, I'd be a little bit in. A little bit embarrassed, maybe. There's always a little bit of that, you know what I mean?
Is it because football kind of regards itself in those terms as being top of the food chain?
No, it's not a thing of arrogance at all, Rich. It's a personal thing from my point of view.
But I'm not saying for you personally, I'm saying generally the reluctance for football to look elsewhere would have been that, well, we're football. We kind of have all this coaching stuff down. We've got all these methods down. We're, you know.
I don't think from a coach's point of view, and a manager's, I think you would have got a lot of it. From a player's perspective, that's highly unusual. I never remember having a conversation with a player while he was playing or at his peak, saying, "Yeah, I'm determined. I want to go and experience." Whether it's America, be a good example in terms of NBA football, baseball, how they prepare physical conditioning, psychological, mentally, how they prepare, all that type of thing. You hear a lot of that talk when you get onto the coaching ladder. And even amongst coaches in the game, especially a lot of young coaches experience a lot of those kind of things and travel around. So I can understand that. It gives you more of a rounded view on things. In all honesty, Joe, I think it can be overplayed a little bit.
Yeah.
I've heard people, like managers, like lose their job, be out of a job for a year, and you know, you hear them speak, and oh, I've really utilised the time I've gone off to Bayern Munich, I watched Guardiola train for an hour and a half. Oh, it's totally changed me. And it's almost, you feel as if it's a little bit tick boxy. I don't want to be too like detrimental, you know. I've been to Barcelona, I've been to Munich, I've been here, I've been there. Oh, the stuff I'm saying just blowing you away. I'm ready now. Yeah, so a little bit of a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I think some people absorb things quicker than others and kind of can process the information better. I do get depressed with some people. It's like, oh yeah, tick box, I've been there.
I know what you mean.
Fundamentally, there's no big change in how they behave. But that doesn't. But that is highly unusual for a sportsman still playing and at his peak to kind of
picking brains like that. Yeah. So you would have felt
that
like
was no. Did you ask me a question to start?
I did, but I got the impression you were about to say that you would have felt a bit embarrassed, or am I getting in the way to be turning up with other people's sessions? Is that what you were about to say?
Yeah, I think particularly when I played. When I stopped playing, there would have been a bit of that. I would have been reasonably interested, but picking up the phone and making those, silly thing to say, really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I probably should have done a little bit more.
Somebody says, didn't Roy Keane talk to the England rugby team too? Yes, he did, in 2019, when they had a great year. Did the trick. Ah, Kenny's back. It's like your slightly wild brother showing up back home after a while away. Full of cracking stories, says John. John's happy to see you back.
How many stories?
Ah, the dulcet tones of Kenny Cunningham. Welcome back, my friend. Just don't do a Kilbane and go off and getting hitched and all that jazz, says somebody else. Does Kenny have a wardrobe full of hoodies? The man knows what he likes. Can't fault him for it, says Brian and Clontarf.
Those bloody cameras here, I keep forgetting.
You do love a hoodie.
I've got to be honest with you, I don't give it any thought whatsoever.
In terms of attire
when I come in.
I can tell.
Good. I'm always caught, surprised by the cameras.
Well, that's what you say. I think your style is to pretend.
I've got to be honest, this isn't bad for me.
It's nice.
Super dry,
very tidy, yeah. Very nice, Kenny.
From Joe, I don't know.
Kenny, exciting news before I get into the news round. All this week, we're teaming up with Aldi to celebrate. That's right, Kenny.
John Aldridge, you said Aldo.
Aldi.
Oh, sorry, I said Aldo.
Aldi. Right. To celebrate Valentine's Day. Research carried out by Aldi. Don't make that face at me.
I said it's some cheap Valentine's cards and Aldi this week. You wouldn't be happy, would you, getting a...
Well, you hang on a second
here. Would you be happy getting a Valentine's card from Aldi's this week?
Kenny, stop. Can I just say now? Whisht.
Listen to this.
Right.
60% of men buy flowers for their special someone after 5:30 PM on Valentine's Day.
On the way back from work,
precisely.
Panic attack. At the station.
This year in Aldi, you can get a dozen roses at Aldi from €3.79. Wait for it, right up to the Naomi Roses Showstopper Bouquet, €49.99. So there's your cheap, Kenny. £49.99.
How easy is it get to get Aldi sticker off the bouquet before
very
you
easy.
Hand them it?
Very
you,
easy.
You don't have to keep scraping at it for about 10 minutes.
No, very,
that just makes fine. It obvious.
No, very user, it's very user
friendly. Over, it's half been scraped off. It's obvious what you've done, isn't it? It's got to be a clean break. The label's got to come off cleanly, isn't it?
Can you shut up for 10 seconds? As part of our partnership for the week that's in it, we're giving away €300 in Aldi vouchers every night this week. Exactly.
There you go, okay.
For your chance to win, simply answer this question. Tell us, and by the way, this has a Valentine's Day link. Name the horse that was once owned by the Off the Ball Syndicate. Name the horse that was once owned by the Off the Ball Syndicate. Text your name and answer 53106 for 30 cents. All the thanks to Valentine's Day at Aldi, Kenny. That's where you go for your roses.
Valentine's is coming up in the foreseeable future.
It's on Friday, Ken.
Good to know.
You've got yourself less than 48 hours to get.
What's the most romantic thing you've ever done?
Oh, Joe, you gotta give me a heads up on that. He's throwing questions like that at me.
Ken's just pure romance all the time. You can't pick out one thing.
Come on, honestly, don't. You're amongst
friends here.
Job, scraping the barrel. I'll end up just telling a blatant lie just to move the conversation on.
What's yours, Joseph?
Honestly.
We're talking to Kenny here. I'm on here every night.
Marrying his fiancée, that's Joe's most romantic thing that he's done. Actually, taking her down the aisle. I wouldn't be a big Valentine's, obviously, as you can probably guess.
It's all nonsense, isn't it, Kenny?
I think it is. No, I don't think it is. A lot of it is nonsense. Because there's nonsense. Huge pressure. I'd be interested. I wouldn't be that interested, to be honest. But in terms of the stats, like arguments and letdowns and disappointments off the back of it, Valentine's, pressures it brings on the lads and stuff. You see them coming out of the station, like panicking around, grabbing anything they can. Mm. Box a milk tray out with a co-op or something, anything will do, like it's a race.
That said, do get your flowers at Aldi this Valentine's Day. Have a good time. Kenny, I'm coming back to you at 9 PM, start of the football show, and I want to know your most romantic gesture. That's a heads up. Tough luck.
There's no point in phoning Mrs. Oida. She won't. She'd be struggling as well.
Can we get her up on the phone line?
No chance.
Well, we'll see.
No chance.
We'll wrestle that phone off you in the next while. Right, we'll start this news round. Ronan O'Gara is going to be in the show at 7:30. Reckons Caelan Doris back in the team come Twickenham, Richie?
Yeah, the Leinster number 8 missed that win over Wales, having sustained a head injury in the opening round defeat of Scotland. CJ Stander was awarded man of the match for his display at number 8 in Doris's absence, with Peter O'Mahony performing well on the blind side. Doris, along with Ulster's Will Addison, linked up with the Ireland training camp in Cork this week, and O'Gara feels there can be no quibbles about the return of Doris.
What is very clear is that the thought process on Caelan Doris is as it was two games ago. Mm-hmm. I think he is anyone who I think has viewed him as a young rugby player has been very impressed with him. The games I've seen him play for Leinster, he seems to be, he's a monster with the ball, very, very good. Max Deegan got 8 minutes, came in. I think he missed a tackle he'd be disappointed with. So there's a little message to him. We need you a little bit more up to speed to keep you in camp. Mm. Not in a negative way. That's the way it goes. It's the top of the top now. So I think Doris will probably will come back in to the starting team. And CJ will stay in it. I would say Joss van der Fleer will stay, and the beauty of Peter O'Mahony now is that you can have impact in any of the three positions.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we haven't been short of guests looking ahead to Twickenham already. Former Ulster back row Stephen Ferris told OTBAM that he can't see Addison breaking into Farrell's side at Twickenham.
Somebody who's played so little rugby over the last couple of months to be thrown into an international jersey, like it doesn't add up. I'm a huge fan of Will Addison. I think he's got all the attributes. I think he's got all the skills. Every time he touches the ball, he seems to have, you know, time and space. But he's never fit. Like, you know, how can you play somebody that's never fit?
Yeah, this is the problem, I suppose. Have you been into the Six Nations this year, Kenny? You watched any of it?
Do you know what? I've watched bits of it. I always catch me by surprise a little bit when it comes around. Even the timings that, you know, I'm always caught out a little bit. And I'm aware of it's coming down the road, but it's always like, oh, bloody, it's 2 o'clock kickoff. Oh, that was 5 hour. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I've watched bits of it. I've watched a chunk of the Wales game there.
You know, they tend to publicise the kickoff times reasonably well. They're accessible.
Yeah, I know. It does now. There's no excuse, really. No excuse, but we're flying again, aren't we?
Seemed to be a bit of mojo back.
It's been a decent start.
A bit of mojo, yeah.
New manager, I suppose, that's the ideal in terms of a little bit of a, which improvements obviously going to be needed against England in a couple of weeks.
He was saying, actually, there's a touch of honeymoon period about it, to be honest, and there's lots of, oh, well, we're doing this different and we're naming it differently. We're naming the team on a Tuesday and, you know, there's all this stuff, right, which is probably a bit superficial.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the new regime and they're talking about it now. But I'll tell you one thing which did sound brilliant. Out at Abbottstown now, they're based out at Abbottstown for the first time.
Yeah.
And they have an indoor pitch. So for their Monday morning reviews, previously it would have been a Carton House, sit in a hotel room, probably, I don't know for how long, but you know yourself, stuffy, 20, 30 lads. What they do now at Abbottstown is they'll highlight a certain thing in the video room. They'll say, look, when we're defending that set piece, I need you here and not there and different things. And then that's right by the indoor pitch. They all, out they go, quick walk through, bit more dynamic, then back in for the next clip. To say that seemed like a brilliant way to do a video review. I don't know. I don't think video reviews are as big a thing in soccer or football, but
they would be now. They would be
but
now.
In your but day you're right. Less so.
But you're right. Physically, even if it's just standing in position and just almost a bit of a walkthrough, it just kind of complements what you're doing. Because sometimes you do the video analysis, some lads, you know, just get it straight away. Some other lads are there nodding and not quite taken on board. And so you actually, for me, from a coaching perspective, you literally need to take them out. Mm. Need to take them out and walk people through it.
Is that
so they can physically see it? You know what I mean?
That part of the Badgers thing, how to approach video analysis?
Yeah, they touch it, but you experience that as a player anyway. A lot of common sense stuff, Rich, really. Like, a lot of players, individual players, talk about in the Fianna Boys there, like take that responsibility on themselves. But collectively as a coach, it's your responsibility. So it's certainly analysis post-match is huge. Mm. But you're right, Joe, in terms of having to... It's a practical thing, isn't it?
It's just practical. But
20 yards to your left, right, everybody out the door.
And
right, let's go.
It's an indoor pitch as well. So you're freezing and coming back and all that stuff. So it seemed like a pretty good setup. Joe, can you teach Kenny how commercial radio works during the next ad breaks? As Martin and Galway, I will be having a word, Martin. Thumbs up to Aldi.
Oh, sorry about that, lads. Sorry about
that.
A
bit late now.
But as fundamentally, in terms of like how we played, Annie's sizable shift there.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Attacking. Is that right?
Attacking with a bit more verve, using the skill set of the players a bit more seems to be the word. Less forwards just catching the ball, running 5 metres into contact.
Right. Taking very little risk, taking more risk
correct.
With the pass.
A bit more unpredictable.
Can we play that way though?
Yeah.
Have we got the players? Is there value in doing that?
Yes. 100%. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
So interesting, potentially exciting times ahead. Twickenham, Sunday week. I will text you the kickoff time because I know it's very hard to find.
I think I'm in Dublin. I could be
Sunday 23rd.
In. Oh, Sunday?
23rd, yeah.
Ah, right. No bother.
Feed up.
Yeah.
3 o'clock, I think.
Oh, 3 o'clock. Get the dinner on about 1 o'clock. Oof. 1 o'clock. Roasties, the whole shebang. Lovely.
What a day.
Happy days.
There you go.
Yeah. Apple pie.
Tua Lagi's in line to be back for that reason?
Yeah, he's linked back up with the England squad, having missed their win over Scotland with a groin injury. Henry Slade also back in their number following an ankle injury. In the last few moments, the GPA have released a statement essentially in response to the release of the GAA's annual report yesterday. The GPA saying it's disappointing for their members that the inter-county game, for which they dedicate 31 hours of their time a week, is regarded as the GAA's problem child. You might remember yesterday, Director General Tom Ryan said that spending needs to be curtailed on inter-county sides, having risen to nearly €30 million for 2019. Far from being a problem child, the GPA say inter-county games and the players that make them the spectacle they are continue to be the jewel in the crown of the GAA. The GAA is also lucky, the GPA say, to have those players who give so much of themselves, often of their own detriment, to allow generate revenues that keep the association afloat.
Do they use the phrase problem child?
The GPA yes.
That's just borrowing the John Delaney thing. Like, that is not what was said yesterday. Like, I haven't read the GPA statement in full, so, but my initial reaction to that is, Tom Ryan said yesterday that the spending at inter-county level, which went up 11%.
11.6%.
Yeah, is unsustainable. Mm. And that is absolutely correct.
I think he's saying the growth at which the expenses have been over the last 3 to 4 years. Like, it's grown exponentially over the last couple of years. And this year was kind of the red light that said, well, we need to put the brakes on here.
I think that's fair. Tom Ryan didn't say, oh, inter-county football is the problem child. He said the amounts of money being spent, I think, what, 30?
30 million. I think it's just short of 30 million.
So yeah. Teams are spending 30 million to play an amateur sport, admittedly to a very high level, I know. But that is unsustainable when you're trying to fund the game in each county and county boards are strapped for cash. Like, there are county boards bankrupting themselves to send teams off to Portugal for training camps and all the best of everything. And the players should get the best of everything. But we need to be smarter with the amounts we're spending. So I think the GPA, to come out and frame it as if the GAA have called the inter-county game a problem child.
Yeah, I think it was something Mick Foley mentioned in your essay. The fact that still in 2019, nearly half of their gate receipts, they're posting record revenues, yeah, grand, but half of that nearly is coming from gate receipts. That needs to be looked at. They need to find a more sustainable and alternative way to themselves generate cash and income on a regular basis.
Can't depend on those big high attendances.
You're not going to get replays. Yeah, you can't.
But you're not going to have international TV rights either, which is almost the modern way.
You've got to be clever and cute about these things.
But
in a way, the hotel kind of thing in Clonliffe is almost part of that.
But I don't think the GPA are being entirely fair there to suggest that Tom Ryan yesterday came out and said, oh, it's a problem child.
I don't.
He just said the amount of money being spent is unsustainable. No.
I don't think he's having a go, especially at the players there.
No, he's not.
The county boards in the way that they spend their money is the issue. It's not. It's not the players. I think they might be overreacting.
Think so as well. Anyway, I'll have a look at the full statement. But that's just the initial line that you have anyway.
F1 boss Chase Carey admits the coronavirus could lead to other races being cancelled this season. April's Chinese Grand Prix has been postponed due to the outbreak and is unlikely to be rescheduled. Vietnam and Singapore are also in danger there. It's reported, meanwhile, that Chelsea have reached a verbal agreement with Ajax to sign Hakim Ziyech. The Telegraph in the Netherlands say that Moroccan will leave the Dutch Giants for €45 million in the summer. And DJ Carey is hoping to lead IT Carlow to a first ever Fitzgibbon Cup win this evening. They face the holders UCC at the DCU Sports Grounds, where they get underway in all 4 minutes' time.
Okay, very good. After 8 o'clock, we have Johnny Cooper, All-Ireland winner, with us in a few moments' time. Ronan O'Gara on the Six Nations. Back in 1 sec.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.